Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with El Neen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, El Neen.
Welcome to what is our 12th show on a series that is called Walking Between the Worlds that has been exploring the underlying laws of existence, the true nature of those concepts that we bandy about as though we know what they mean, the deeper meaning behind the appearances of love, light, awareness, consciousness. We are today going to be speaking about interpreting the symbols of our environment and our dream time. Man prides himself arrogantly on his intellectual faculties, while remaining totally illiterate in interpreting the signs and symbols of his environment and dream time. The pain of alienation from source causes multiple addictions, yet all around us, guidance is abundantly given if we but have the abilities to interpret those signs of our environment. The outer world as a reflection of the inner world can reveal to us the deepest mysteries of our being. We have today with us Paul St. John. My name is El Neen, and he has collected for us a series of questions sent in by listeners like yourself through our email list. And so we will attempt to answer as many of those as we can today. And welcome again to our show on Walking Between the Worlds. Paul, thank you for all the trouble that you took.
Well, my pleasure, Ami. Would you like me to start in with the first question?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, I've been wondering if we are solving previously unknown issues on behalf of Mother in our dream time, which I know happens for many people, and particularly when people attend your week-long events. If we're solving issues on behalf of Mother during those times, in our dream time, I was curious how our superconscious or subconscious is getting the answers. It would seem that that it is exactly that this part of us that is pulling in this information is exactly what is at the cutting edge of cosmic growth. And if this is so, this seems like a very precious tool of ours, worthy of the utmost awareness and worthy of developing its skills.
Well, yes, very, very wonderful, actually, because you've seen very clearly that the importance of physical life and how very, very important it is. And you're so very right, Paul. It is the exact place where all true information is gained, in the physical. The physical is really where the known meets the unknown, and all new information is gained there. So many people spend their time channeling entities that tell them how to live, but they cannot possibly know, because humanity is at the densest level of physicality. And although they can give eternal truths as guiding principles, something which at the deep core of our being we already have, they cannot tell us what is new. The most that they can give is a perspective unfettered by the more myopic or focused vision of humankind. But I had a most fascinating conversation with one of the unformed mothers. Now, when you're saying we're solving issues on behalf of Mother, we should clearly differentiate between these two for our listeners, because the Mother, which is the Infinite Mother, the goddess that created all life, that births life and has as her first creation made the Father, she is in fact a being and resides in the densest levels of creation on that pivot point that has been the way shower of the cosmic ascension that we've been in since February of 2005, and we have mentioned so many times on the show, and folks that are new to the show can get it from our archives. But that mother resides currently on Earth. And around the cosmos, there are oceans of consciousness that lie like unformed seas of consciousness outside our formed consciousness, meaning there are individuations within us. Within those oceans contained, each one like a sack of consciousness in a membrane, there is no actual individuation, just the one being's mind that has been awakened. So I had a most fascinating conversation with one of the unformed mothers lying like a sea of consciousness outside of our formed cosmos. In this conversation, she told me that the most accurate way to get information that has never been known before is always in the physical, of which the dream body is technically a part of. So, you know, if you want to call the etheric body the first body and the physical body the second body, it's in the first and second where all new information is gained. It is not that the information is being fed from anywhere outside. The information is coming through the mirrors around us and our own experience. In the dream time, the non-cognitive mind realizes that the significant insights of these events are, where there's a block in the pure flow of information, it tells us. So the ego mind that fulfills what its true purpose is, which is analysis. So in analyzing the dream, it is for this reason that both secrets of the hidden realms, as well as the ring of truth, have lists of symbols that speak to us in the dream time, as well as in the everyday occurrences, to give us the subtle information to be interpreted as to what new knowledge is being accessed. So as you can see, you are absolutely accurate in that humans have the most precious tool to evolve the awareness of the infinite beyond where it presently is. It is our sacred duty to learn to become literate in interpreting the way life speaks to us through experience and dreams. So, you know, that's about the best explanation I can give, Paul. Does it make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, Almeen. I just want to ask if you're saying that through our previous, through our experiences and our dreams that we are actually creating truth?
Well, you know, for years I've been saying that students seek truths, but masters create them spontaneously. The answer is yes. It's not that the masters create them and the students actually don't. Everyone at the physical level would be considered someone that is creating truth because our experiences reveal that which has never been known before. It's in the flesh where all true new information is accessed, as we've pointed out. It's just that masters become aware of it because they live deep, self-examined lives and because they have cleared the dialogue of their minds. They have a lot of energy to access what is occurring in every moment. So they actually make those truths their own. This is placed into the grid of humanity. It feeds the infinite, new information, etc. So that is how it happens.
And Almeen, can you explain where these, you've mentioned some dream symbols that are in your books, The Ring of Truth and Secrets of the Hidden Realms. Can you mention where those symbols, which I believe we also use to understand our actual waking life, I'd like to know where they have come from.
Yes, certainly. Let's take a look at where the Toltec lineages come from, because these symbols have been collected by mystics called Toltec Nahuals, of which I have walked my path now for a very, very long time. The Toltec Nahual is a being that is born with two luminous cocoons around the body, whereas most everybody else has one. and the one is comprised of the bodies stacked within one another. And in the book, The Ring of Truth, we have a section about the secret life of Toltec Nahuals. But these bodies stacked within each other, eventually for somebody that can perceive energy directly, forms a luminous cocoon. Someone is a Nahual when they have two cocoons, so it's not something you choose to be, although the Toltec way is a life of disciplined impeccability for everyone. But to continue, so for eons of time, the Toltec Nahuals have been dedicated through living impeccably and mastering the use of energy in their life. That's one of their primary focuses. To finding a way out of illusion and setting themselves and others free. That is their total life's mission. So they have been studying, Nahuals have been moving between worlds. You know, my entire book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, is a compilation of information that I have gathered as I walk between the worlds. How is that done? There is on the outer edge of the luminous cocoon about a tennis ball size ball of light, an arm's length approximately behind the heart, slightly to the left for most people. If you move that assemblage point and you sustain that move, it enables you to disappear out of this reality into the next. And when you move into other realities, you know, those are what's called the hidden realms. So Toltec Nahuals have for eons of time been traveling between realms. They've learned to work with time. They've learned to loop time so that if they made a mistake yesterday, they can go back and correct it, creating a more and more refined life. And in their travels, they have gone to great lengths to understand the nature of reality. They have studied intensively the nature of awareness, and they have studied the dream symbols, and what we have in our books is an abbreviated version of that compilation of the Toltec dream symbols that has come from a million years of oral traditions. But let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back.
Elmeen is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Elmeen as your Toltec guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Elmeen on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic, and log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. You've been walking between the worlds with Elmeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Elmeen.
Welcome back to our listening audience. And today we are discussing, and we have with us on the line, Paul St. John, who has compiled a list of questions that I am answering. My name is Elmeen, and we are discussing interpreting the symbols of our environment and our dream time. In answering your question, Paul, about where the compilation of the dream symbols and these symbols also equally apply to our environment, where it has come from, I have been explaining the lineages of Toltec Nahuals. Toltec Nahuals, to give you a little bit more of a background story about them and how they have worked diligently in compiling this, we trace their history all the way back into what was called Xalmali, which is the motherland. And the motherland we know as Lemuria. So Lemuria is certainly a place where there was open activity by Toltec Nahuals. Lemuria at that time, and we give the different maps of how Lemuria changed in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, but in ancient times in Lemuria, the continents, if you will, were divided in some instances by a narrow strait of water, but they housed the seven root races of man. And this proceeds, for those people that are familiar with the Anunnaki or the works of Zachariah Sitchin as star beings that have come to Earth and genetically produced a smaller version of the human. This precedes that. These humans were formed long before the Anunnaki came. It's just that when they arrived, a natural catastrophe had happened, and most of them had gone into the inner earth, and in some cases, the crust of the earth. So they didn't really find them till later when they emerged. But Lemuria had temples called Kaldi, because they had walls around, and Kaldi meant walls, in which the Toltec disciplines were taught. People were taught how to interpret the signs of their environment so that life became meaningful and not just a series of events happening, quote, to you. And from there, they did a very major missionary effort. And the Naga, or the Nakal, or the Nahuals, went two by two all over the earth. And they erected Kaldi, like Ur of the Chaldeans that you read about, where the Israelites were taken captive in the time of, I believe it was Ezra the prophet. Those were called Chaldeans because they had that many Kaldi, Nahual temples, in which these things were taught to people. Now, I can take this history much further than that, but you will find it written in the Gift of the Unicorns. The book was published in the latter half of 2007, and the second half of it contains the history of the Earth itself, as given by the cosmic histories appointed by the Infinite Mother to keep the histories of the cycles of the fall. And they, whatever they gave me, I wrote down verbatim as a dictation. And in there, they speak of the time that the Mother Goddess herself designed the Toltec way, as she could see that all would fall asleep, so that the illusion that was present could be used by Toltecs with their disciplined actions as stepping stones rather than stumbling blocks, and that they could remember the dream symbols. So it comes from very, very long ago, and the origin is the mother herself, according to those history keepers.
Wow, that really puts these symbols, these symbol meanings in much more context.
Yes,
certainly not as certainly more valid than some. You know, there are many dream dictionaries out there, so they certainly seem to have much more validity than those. I would imagine, coming from such a long tradition, even before any of the major religions.
Yes, absolutely. Religion arose when spirituality was virtually non-existent amongst humankind.
Well, I mean, maybe in light of the fact that these symbols have arisen from such an ancient tradition, perhaps you can give some examples of some meanings of these of various symbols that are common in people's environments or dreams, just to give the listeners a little bit of a sense of what we're discussing here and how they might differ from some meanings they might have heard in the past.
All right, and I must tell you, I have absolutely no idea what other dream symbols are saying. I just know that in most instances it's one person's subjective experiences and sometimes not-so-subjective imaginings, and sometimes it is it arises from therapy. So I'm sure there are some valid, some not-so-valid out there. I have no idea. It's been a very, very long time since I've read books. But let's take some activities. Now, are you asking me for meanings of the symbols, or are you asking if the meanings as given in my books, which is The Ring of Truth and Secrets of the Hidden Realms, if those meanings are in fact the only meanings? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I'm asking you to give the symbol meanings, actually, because I think it would be good to hear some examples.
All right.
You already answered that question by mentioning that it is to some extent subjective and to some extent not. That's another question I had about interpreting symbols around us. And so I think it would be good to hear some of the symbols that the Toltec, the meanings that some of the symbols have in the Toltec tradition.
All right. Well, before I do that, let me just explain this a little bit.
Okay.
That how meanings can vary. Let's take something like parachuting, for instance. Anything to do with air, such as airplane, parachuting, birds, anything like that has to do with perception or thought, something that is mental in accumulating knowledge. Now, and it has to do with the change of it. For instance, an airplane has to do with change of mental awareness, of thought patterns, of worldviews, of anything like that, a change in perception. But let's say that John has always wanted to parachute. And his mother has always said, no, you'll break a bone, you shouldn't go parachuting. So he forfeited a dream. But the more his mother stifled him in other areas of his life, the more he was dreaming of parachuting. Well, in his case, it could be that he has to change his perception in that he allows himself to be placed in bondage when he's a grown person by his mother. And her expectations and maybe even her emotional blackmail that, oh, it's so bad for my heart, oh, I'll be worried sick, all these emotional threats. He forfeits a part of his dreams and life. So, yes, if he dreams of parachuting, it could mean that he needs to, parachuting would mean immediately abandon a certain perception or life's direction by changing that perception. But in his case, it could stand for a lot more. It could stand for freedom of tyranny. So then he realizes that because he allows his mother, where he still lives at home, to be doing that to him, to put her worldviews onto him, and he needs to immediately jump ship, basically, on that, abandon it by parachuting out of the airplane, it also represents to him freedom from tyranny. And so as John starts to look through his life, he will see that other areas of his life, he also allows tyranny from co-workers, from friends, from etc. So it might stand for more because parachuting is an issue for him. But let's just take a look at some activities, and I'll just quote a few out of the book because they're alphabetical and all grouped together. Birthing one's own or another's child, anything to do with birth and new babies has to do with new awareness is about to happen. And it could mean new beginnings, but it stands mostly for new awareness. Boating, well, just like flying in an airplane means mental change, boating is the need or the desire for emotional change. And in my own case, sometimes there are massive emotional changes that happen because one thing is, you know, that with all my heart, I work to grow every day and to anchor that growth into experiential knowledge. But when there's a huge, massive change in emotion ahead that I have to prepare for, I find myself standing on the dock looking up at a massive, massive ship. If there's just a small tweaking in my emotional concepts that I have, it will be a little boat or a canoe. Or the canoe will just flow down the river without oars. That means just allow the emotional change to take place and don't try and control it. Let's take a quick commercial break.
The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the immortal master, in addition to continue function among the masses. You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
But let us take a look at some other symbols. For instance, I mentioned that birds refer to thoughts. And you also need to observe colors. And then, you know, we have a special section just on color. But birds of prey stand for power. And the blackbirds, except for crows and ravens, stand for treachery. And, you know, they're immediately, when there's treachery afoot, there are blackbirds that are making a very squawking nuisance of themselves in my garden so that I would know that treachery is imminently approaching my garden, so to speak, in terms of my turf in life. These symbols in your everyday environment must stand out on the horizon. You know, there are obviously crows and ravens everywhere. Crows and ravens mean paths of power. But oftentimes when I'm driving in my car, a crow will fly right across my path, right in front of my car. It's telling me, slow down. You might miss something on the path of power. Doves mean peace and tranquility. And eagles mean power through perception. Hummingbirds stand for energy, but they could also stand for speeding up time or compressing time, or, you know, that you can do many things in 1 hour, what another person can do in 5, if you compress time, meaning you live with total focus to the moment. Now, an owl is seeing or being led through circumstances that seem pretty dark. People have died, etc., in your home. The owl makes an appearance. It is telling you, you will get through this, and with perception. The sparrow is for fun, joy, carefreeness, If it's white, then it also means peace and contentment. Turkey means to cling to old patterns or obsolete habits. And the vulture is an important bird. It means destructuring or the end of the old. Now, when you see vultures, there's something that has to change, that has to be destructured. And I just want to throw in the heron, which we don't have in the book, but herons mean cutting ties that bind. Native Americans, for instance, in some tribes use blue heron feathers to cut ties and cords. So, let me see, you know, something we may want to also discuss is buildings. Because those are in everybody's dreams.
Yes, they tend to be.
You know, and buildings are their world views. So, for example, if you are moving in your dream from a small house to a large mansion, it's either the need to or that you're about to change your world view and have your paradigm just busted wide open into a much, much, much bigger world view. In my dreams, I am mostly homeless. If I'm in any building, I'm usually either in a hotel, which is a temporary world view, or I'm visiting in other people's world views, meaning I'm seeing life through their eyes. But I am mostly homeless. And the reason is, and I have usually in the dreams, no home to go back to. And the reason for that is that as a Toltec, I have absolutely for years and years schooled myself to have no world views. And so the no world views is very, very important. Because a world view entraps. It is social conditioning. It is born of personal identities handed to us by others or formed ourselves as protective mechanisms, but worldviews entrap because every moment is brand new with new possibilities. But even a cave, a tent, anything like that, you know, look at the nature of the location, but any structure represents worldviews. When you're in a tent, you're holding on very lightly to a worldview. And it's possibly time to just let go. So I think, unless you want me to cover more, that might do it.
Well, yes, I think that's good for now. I mean, I know you could go on about these symbols forever, but like we've said, they are in Secrets of the Hidden Realms and also the Ring of Truth. And what might be a further help for listeners is if you maybe speak a little bit about how we go about interpreting symbols when we don't happen to have a book there to help us along. My understanding to some extent is you really try and observe the nature of that that symbol and in the silence of the mind see what it's saying to you. But maybe you can talk a little bit more about that and how we might develop that ability.
See, you can literally train your mind to develop its own language. A white car means this day is going to be peaceful. A red car means that somebody's going to try and engage me in a fight. You know, if I drive to work and there are 10 red cars in a row or 5 white cars in a row, or a white car swerves in front of me, you know, you can develop those languages yourself. A car is the vehicle of life. The day is a vehicle to get through your life. And white is peace and red is the need to confront. So you can do that and train your mind. If you have neither the training of the mind in place, meaning you've developed your own system, or you have another a book that you're working from, it could be that eventually your mind will go to that system, but this is the symbols that I'm giving are symbols that through eons have been studied as to this was dreamt, now this occurs, aha, there's the connection, and also of Toltecs traveling back and forth in other realms to see these things. So it would behoove people, you know, even if they're not planning on getting my book, it's just fine, but even if they are to go to another who has the book, and, you know, I know you're not supposed to photocopy it, but those dream symbols you really ought to get. So just write them down, photocopy the dream symbols if you have to, if that's all you're doing, but it's very valuable to have them. I highly recommend it. Now, let's talk about a place where you develop your own system. And this particular thing that I'm speaking of is a very, very accurate way of divination. The dream symbols, the symbols in your environment, they never lie. They are never wrong. They pertain to new information that even beings in your other realms, if you have a guide or an angel, might not know. So you trust them over anything else. But here is a divination symbol, system. For example, you wake up in the morning, you scan your life, and you feel where there is a ripple of tension in the body. For example, where you might feel a ripple of tension is Susie at work. Oh, there's a tightness in my stomach. Now you want to know what that tightness represents. Well, let's say that you have a husband or a partner that you're working with. The system can be set up with a partner, and initially that's a good way to start. Eventually you can train yourself to do it for yourself. So the system of divination we're about to speak of is so that you can unravel the knots in your life before they become problems. But let's just take a quick break, Paul, and we will be back right after this, and then I will explain the system.
Almeen is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Almeen as your Toltec guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Almeen on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic, and log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back, and we are about to explain to you a divination method using dream symbols as given in our book, The Ring of Truth and Secrets of the Hidden Realms. Now, let's say that you begin to study this divination, which is never incorrect, assuming that we're doing it correctly. You start with a friend. The friend might be psychic. They've got to toss it temporarily out the window. They may have their guide tell them things, or they may be hearing things. Toss that out the window. What you're going to ask them to do is, with a totally blank mind, just tell you the symbols as they flash on the screen of their minds without any interpretation. the first thing that you will establish to begin this useful partnership between the two of you is you will say, what is your symbol for yes? The person may see a green light. And in my case, I would see a white ribbon. It might be an O, it might be an X. But the O might be yes, and the X might be no. A green light might be yes, a red light might be no. So first of all, in this total space of not attempting to analyze, not anything, what do I see flash in front of me on the screen of my mind? You get the yes, and you get the no. Now, then you say, I have a tightness in my belly over Jenny at work. What is the cause? The person says they see, and you never do anything, you never discuss anything with the other person because you don't want to pull them back into their left brain. You just fire questions at them and get the symbols, and here's how that goes. The person says, I see a wrapped birthday present. Then you test what they said. Then you can say something back to, like, Jenny. Is Jenny having a birthday, or has she had a birthday? Now, either the symbol for yes might come up, or a repeat of the present. Either way, it means yes. It's a confirmation. Then you say, you remember that there was a tightness in your feeling, like this could be unpleasant. You say, is she hurt because no one remembers her birthday? Again, a present or a yes symbol. And then you can ask, is the birthday yet to come? You get the red light, like no, or whatever symbol it is. And then you say, is it today? You get a no. Then you say, has it already been? Yes. Jennifer is hurt because I forgot her birthday. Is that an accurate statement? You'll get a yes, or you'll get a birthday present. And so you can say, will a simple sorry be enough? Now you may get a fish. A fish in the dream language always means things are not what they seem. And so things are not what they seem tells you that you're dealing with more than just an issue of, oh, darn, you forgot my birthday present. Then you say, is this a sore spot? You use your common sense. Is this a sore spot with, with my coworker? Yes. Why? And then they might see the face of a little girl crying. And then you say, is it that through her life people didn't honor her birthday? Yes. Okay. So then you say, if I make a big fuss about it, make a balloon and flowers and a box of chocolates with a big card with Eeyore the donkey on it saying, I'm so sorry I missed your birthday. Please, happy returns for a belated birthday. And will that be sufficient? Then you might get a partial pie. That means it'll go three quarters of the way. Let's say three quarters of a pie. Pies or cakes, sliced, indicate percentages. So you'd get a three-quarter cake. So then you think, oh, there's more needed. Oh, wait a minute. The other people in the office also forgot it. We'll have to throw her a little happy birthday party. So instead of chocolates, I'll get a cake, and we'll all join in the tea room and have the cake together. Will that take care of it? Whole cake or a smiley face? Yes, that will please her. That's how you solve the problem before it becomes a resentment that 1 year later she takes out on you. Because some people don't forget these things when it has come from their childhood. This is the kind of divination system that eventually it takes a lot of practice to do it for yourself. It's better to have a partner. You can even call up and say, what symbol do you get? What symbol do you get? And you do the silent interpretation as they give the symbols and steer the course of the questions. But in this case, this is a third very, very important way in which the dream symbols could and should be used.
Well, thank you, Amin. That's, I think, very, that was very helpful to me, and I'm sure to many of our listeners. Thank you. One thing that that always fascinates me working in your office is how closely the dreams of our light family relate to and even assist in the work that we do for the Mother Goddess on a daily basis. And I feel it would be nice to give listeners an example of a dream that we were sent, and you can explain then how its interpretation fit exactly what was going on in the cosmos at the time. Does that sound okay to you? Does that sound okay?
Yes. Of course, you know, we have this little issue that because I live in a zero electromagnetic field, I have virtually no memory other than what I need to remember
well,
at the moment. So let's just say I need to remember this here.
I'll give you the dream.
Please.
Yeah. So the dream, this is from a member of our light family in the Netherlands. And she says, I dreamt I saw a little baby. When I looked closer, I discovered that the baby had very strange feet. It had 7 toes on each foot instead of 5. This gave me an awkward feeling in my stomach. Then I looked down at my own feet, and I saw that I, too, had 7 toes on each foot. I was shocked and surprised, and when I bent down and touched the extra toes, one of them broke off.
Okay. So our 10 toes in dream symbols, and you can find this in both those books, they represent the 10, I believe they're called solar tribes. I'm not sure what they're called in the Mayan calendar, but they represent the 20, the fingers and the toes. Is it tribes, Paul? I don't know what they call it.
I think so. Solar tribes, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the 10 toes, for example, represent these solar tribes. But this, in turn, represents DNA strands. So what she is seeing is the confirmation of the new beginnings, which is the baby, of the metamorphosis of the human species, the superhuman that Mother has spoken about. It is also a confirmation to her that although she didn't notice it at first, she has gone through this metamorphosis herself. Furthermore, as I've mentioned in one of our past shows, our cosmos was part of a string of clusters of cosmoses that formed an expression of one of Mother's DNA strands. All were incorporated into one strand, except for the 12th strand of DNA. And this 12th strand, Mother had given me instructions to put in the book that all the strands incorporated, but the 12th strand wouldn't incorporate. When she sent me this dream, then I knew that this was a part of my job that Mother had given me that hadn't properly been fulfilled. In looking into it further, it was a strand which held possibilities of illusion that we didn't want to incorporate. As a result of her dream, Mother therefore dissolved this DNA strand within herself and created a brand new pristine one. And when we pull these parallel realities into our cosmos, a pristine 12th reality was pulled in because of one person's dream. So, Paul, we've come to the end of our show. I am so delighted that you have joined us. And thank you to our light family who have been with us also. Next week, we will be discussing the magical world around us and speak of the awakening of incorruptible white magic among man as his birthright and the restoration of it. Thank you so much.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Neal.